Being in love can seem so easy at first. With the sparkle of love in our eyes, we seem at times to see nothing else save all which is good in our surroundings, in those whom we meet, and most particularly in the one to whom our heart has been pledged. There can appear to be no end in sight to these happy feelings, as if we can float on this cloud of love for all time, for eternity. Then something happens. This love of ours is suddenly taken away from us. A car accident, cancer, war, mental illness, abuse, an affair. The darkness of the world contaminates our good intentions, hardening hearts and leading to sin. Perhaps the one we love has been critically injured, left us for someone else, or has brought shame upon themselves and us as well. Perhaps the one we love has hurt someone, or maybe they've completely forsaken God, going it alone in the world. Now, so far, we've only spoken of those whom we love, those who are most precious to us already, be they a spouse, a child, perhaps a parent, or close family and friends. But we might ask ourselves, to stretch our imaginations here for a minute, how about the sins affecting those who are not endeared to us, the pain and agony suffered and caused by others, people we may hardly know, strangers even? Doesn't Christ call us to love even our enemies? Surrounded then with heavy cares of the sin and misfortunes of both those dear and unknown to us, we might ask, how do we bear the burdens of one another, for one another? Indeed, how do we love through the darkness of sin? In today's lesson, we heard from Paul's letter to the Galatians, where Paul is appealing to the Galatians who have, in his view, gotten way off track from the essential gospel message. And we learn a little bit more about this situation, actually, in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 15. We find that before the time Paul composed his letter to the Galatians, certain Judean visitors came to Syrian Antioch, and they started to teach the Gentile Christians there that they could not be saved unless they were circumcised according to the law of Moses. These visitors believed that the Christians had to observe Jewish law in order to be truly Christian. This is precisely what Paul saw as the crisis in Galatia, thus prompting his letter. Now, to gain further insight into Galatians 6:2, which is our focal passage for today's message, let's consider the specific meaning of one key word in Greek. Still excited to use my Greek class at seminary, so bear with me. Bastazete. This word is in the imperative form, as when someone commands something, right? You do that, right? Bastazete translates to you endure, you bear, you tolerate. You take away, remove, support, sustain, pick up, or steal. Bastazete means to sustain a burden, to carry something very heavy and burdensome. So we quickly see here how this colors our view of what it may mean to bear one another's burdens. It's not an easy task, nor is it for the faint of heart. Before we dig further into the specifics of this Pauline epistle, or how it may relate to us today, let's first remind ourselves a little bit about the historical context of Paul's letter. For starters, as we see by this word, the command, bastazete, Paul doesn't seem to be too happy in his letter. At the beginning of his letter, he actually cuts his customary greeting and thanksgiving and even his normal practice of listing the recipients at the top. Instead, he cuts directly to an assertion establishing his apostolic calling and bolstering his credibility. Kind of the equivalent of getting a birthday card with a very terse message. Kind of take you aback. And this is something that would have been noticed by first century readers who received this letter. They would have been startled by this. So we keep that in mind. And also, instead of saying he's thankful, Paul actually says in his letter he's astonished with the news of what's been going on in Galatian churches. So it could be suggested that Paul's main argument in his letter is that salvation does not come from human action or worldly acts, but from God. Now, before they knew God, the Galatians were enslaved to worldly concerns. But here, in this letter, they seem to have slid back to their old ways. And Paul asks them, "What has become of the goodwill you felt? Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom for self-indulgence. Through love, become slaves to one another." Now back to this morning's lesson in Galatians 6. If any of us fall by the wayside in sin, Paul reminds us that we can lift each other up through the Spirit. Here we're called to restore one another with gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and of course, self-control. Paul tells us that we will reap what we sow. If we sow love, forgiveness, faithfulness, and patience with the wayward among us, well then we will receive such treatment in return. This is the golden rule of the gospel message. Arguably one of the most profound lines in Paul's letter to the Galatians is when he says how we bear one another's burdens. In this way we fulfill the law of Christ. Now what does Paul mean here when he says fulfill the law of Christ? How will we fulfill the law of Christ? This may actually be confusing at first. For when we think of Paul's grace-based view of the gospel message, we might find his reference here to the law as being somewhat contradictory to his teachings on grace through faith alone. Is Paul actually asking us to perform works here when in other places asking us to not do that? Well, in order to understand what Paul may mean by the law of Christ, we might look at what Paul himself says earlier in the letter to the Galatians. We're not to use our freedom for self-indulgence, right? But through love, become slaves to one another. Is love, then, the law of Christ? In the Gospel of John, Jesus seems to command just this, saying, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Also in 1 John, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Paul himself shows us we are unified in the body of Christ through bearing in love. When he says to the Ephesians, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. Bearing with one another in love, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Amazingly, we also see that Paul appears to echo his words to the Galatians in Romans 13:8, when he says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." Again, we find reference to the law of Christ in connection with bearing in love with one another. Now, although at first Paul's letter to the Galatians can seem kind of harsh, scholars show us that slowly but eventually Paul makes his way to a more positive tone in his letter, where he focuses on the love-filled gospel message of Christ. He reminds the Galatians that once they come to new life in the Spirit, they're inevitably dying with Christ, in effect taking on his cross. By taking on the cross of Christ, our worldly ambitions and desires die away, and instead are replaced by the loving heart of Christ through the inspiration and guidance of the Spirit. Since Christ has died for our sins, we are now called to bear one another's burdens in patience and in love. In the Gospel of Luke, we see as the lawyer who challenges Jesus, right? In the parable of the Good Samaritan, the lawyer stands up. He's trying to show up Jesus in this instance. He's asking him a question: what must we do to inherit eternal life? Well, we find that those who do not help others live their lives in selfish isolation and pride. We must beware of thinking of ourselves as the righteous. Our correction of others may smell of conceit, unless we sense that we ourselves are flawed and are just as prone to sin as anyone else we know around us. In his work, Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer shows us that fellow believers are a burden to the Christian. It is the fellowship of the cross to experience the burden of the other. If anyone refuses to bear that burden, Bonhoeffer says, well, then they deny the law of Christ. Bonhoeffer tells us that it may actually be the freedom of another person which is a burden to us. This is an especially curious comment, thinking in the American landscape about freedom and what that means to us, but Bonhoeffer reminding us that the freedom of another person is what's the burden. Now, what he may mean by this is that we are freely made by God to God's liking. Note, this is not necessarily to our liking or in our image, right? But in God's liking and in God's image. When another does something which is not what we would do, we are then called to bear with their freedom in love and in patience and in forgiveness. Scholar Douglas Moo reminds us that we can always find people who are doing worse than we are in matters of the Spirit and take confidence from that comparison. But when we look at ourselves honestly and in light of God's Word and His expectations of us, the result will often be quite different. How then do we bear one another's burdens? How may we fulfill the law of Christ, loving through the darkness? How do we walk into the mouth of the beast, our arms stretched out into the fire, to pull up our brothers and sisters? Perhaps we need to be pulled up ourselves and brought back to the light of Christ. Well, Paul reminds us that we reap what we sow. And if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap eternal life from the Spirit. We need not grow tired of doing what is right, for we will reap at the harvest time. If we walk with one another through the trials and the pain of sin, if we bear the burdens with patience and with love and kindness, loving through the darkness, we may then reap eternal life from the Spirit of God. May it be so. Amen.